Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a, Thursday today, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, NFL Tonight. Mac Jones will be on the field. Cam Newton on the field. The Steelers playing tonight as well. I will be home with a big bowl of pasta. That's what I'll be doing tonight, watching NFL preseason. I think this is one of the best, most interesting NFL preseason weeks ever. Like, for me, preseason football to me is, you know, you watch week three, the starters a little bit, but I don't sit and watch games all night. You know, I pick games I think are interesting and matter. A lot of preseason stuff is junk. This weekend's going to be interesting. I got all these new kids playing, including Mac Jones tonight, and Joy Taylor is here. Joy just gave me a gift. From Italy, Capri, very sophisticated.
It's mostly for Ian. I don't know how into diffusers you are.
Yes.
You got a new house, so, you know.
We got a good show today. Good to see you.
Yes.
She did First Things First. That's Joy Taylor again. Let me start with this. So this did not come from an intern. This came from Jerry Jones, or probably his longtime PR guru, Rich Dalrymple. The Cowboys, yes, the Dallas Cowboys, on their Twitter account, it's not a setback, it's not a reason to worry, but Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI. That didn't come from an intern. That was carefully carved out. Okay. Translation. Leg injury, long rehab, overcompensates. Throwing shoulder sore, gets an MRI. Comes off the field, right? Couple days, few days. Goes back, couple days of throwing, and why would you get a second MRI? Something's not quite right. It's not doom, it's not gloom, but Joe Burrow had an equally ugly leg injury. He hasn't had any MRIs. So, 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. One has had an MRI, Dak. One has had two MRIs, Dak. Fresh off a $40 million contract. Now, Stephen Jones today is saying it's overrated. It's no big deal, but you watch Hard Knocks, first episode, Jerry Jones talking to trainers with the Rangers and the Yankees. Nothing is everything. Everything is something. And I think this is and has become an incredibly Dak-reliant team. That's why this is important. I said this yesterday. What do the Seattle Seahawks do well? Russell Wilson scores touchdowns. What else do they do well right now? Not a lot. Let me ask you, with the Dallas Cowboys, increasingly, they're putting Dak front and center because he's the emotional leader. He's the physical leader. He's the production leader. This is not like Kyle Shanahan's offense. You know, this is not the early Brady with the Patriots, Dilfer Flacco with the Ravens, where the defense felt like it led the way. This has become a very quarterback-reliant franchise. I even think the Kansas City Chiefs could win half their games without Mahomes because of the coaching, the O-line rebuild, the skill people. They wouldn't win the Super Bowl. I think Dallas is totally Dak dependent now. Last year, defense 23rd, rushing 17th, pass rush 20th, coaching, all be kind, C-, felt like a D+. What do they do well? Dak's productive. That's it. He goes to the microphone, A+. Productivity, very good. And I'm not picking on Dallas. I said this about my hometown Seahawks. What do they do well? Their drafting's weird. Two first-rounders and a third and a player for Jamal Adams, who I love, but that's a lot. Now they're kind of trapped. Now guys aren't practicing. They're holding out. This is now a very Dak-reliant franchise. And oh, by the way, the Eagles are a tire fire, but Washington and New York are solid and getting better. Giants played very well, won 5 of their last 8 last year. Washington, end of the year, played very well, gave the Buccaneers everything they could handle with the like Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. So this division is not as bad as it was at the beginning of last year. It's a pretty interesting division. But with Dallas now, this has become a very Dak-reliant franchise. He's the guy you put at the podium. He's the emotional leader. I mean, you saw last year, there were questions about Dallas's defense. When Dak left, it was like, man, they're not playing hard. They're not prepared. And there was no Dak around. It was Andy Dalton. Who do you rely on when things go sideways? This is still not a very good defense with an anemic pass rush, hit and miss running the football, coaching his ad. Albert Breer talked about this yesterday. You watch Hard Knocks. It's pretty clear now who runs the franchise. It's not Mike McCarthy. So Dak Prescott, a second MRI. All right, so I want to shift gears to tonight. We have some football games tonight. And Cam Newton and Mac Jones reportedly, both Cam and Mac Jones reportedly will play for the New England Patriots tonight at Foxborough. And here's what I think is interesting. So Tom Brady played in New England for about 20 years, right? Was it 20, 21, 19, something like that, 20 years. And for 15, he was the emotional, physical leader of the franchise. But they always struggled to give him credit as he took pay cuts, right? There was a moment a couple years ago where Belichick gave him the team ball, and it literally, visually, optically looked uncomfortable. They always struggle. It was always about the system, the genius of previously fired Bill Belichick, who I still think's, you know, the best coach in NFL history. So Brady leaves, and immediately, almost bizarrely, the compliment started flowing for Cam Newton. What a leader. He's picked up this offense. He is sensational. Cam has never had back-to-back winning seasons. They draft Mac Jones. The Mac Jones comments, despite the fact he wears 50 and looks like a ball boy half the time. Oh, my God, he is whizzing the ball. He is an unbelievable talent. If you work for a company for 20 years and you got him 6 rings, number one in merchandise sales, you got him on Sunday Night Football, CBS Game of the Week, almost every Sunday they were the marquee game for a network or the league. For 20 years, you doubled the owner's net worth. Belichick had been fired. You helped make him the winningest coach. You couldn't get compliments. Then you leave, and the next two guys, one that's never had back-to-back winning seasons, and a kid who was the fourth quarterback taken this year, wasn't it? Like fourth quarterback of the five everybody, was one. Oh, he was the fifth. My bad. The fifth. Oh, he's great. You can't believe how good he is. Oh, he's so smart. He's like Einstein. Elon Musk with a helmet. It's unbelievable. This is why I believe Tom Brady's not going to play for Tampa 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, not four. Tom Brady, as long as he thinks he can win a Super Bowl, is just going to keep playing. He's going to say, honey, Giselle, just one more year. Tom Brady's got a chip on his shoulder from being drafted in the 6th round. He's still got that. But I think it is really funny. Put yourself in Brady's shoes. You work at a company for 20 years, and for like 16 to 17 of it, you carry him. Your boss is now called a genius, although he was fired in his current job, his previous job. He was fired in his previous job, called grumpy, hard to deal with, and was in big trouble. You arrive, and suddenly 17 years later, 18 years later, that boss who had been fired, the greatest boss of all time, you take pay cuts. They don't compliment you. You leave, and the next two guys who aren't close to you, oh, they're geniuses. They're Mac Jones and Cam Newton. Folks, that's all this is doing. You don't think Tom Brady's watching that and thinking Mac Jones is brilliant, Cam Newton's a great leader? I mean, just think about this. What was around Brady? Look at what is left. Belichick, who's great, but was fired in his previous job. Matt Patricia is now an advisor, disaster as a head coach. The offensive coordinator is Josh McDaniels, who was a disaster as a head coach. And the defensive coordinator, there really is none, although I do think Belichick's son has some role there. All right. And they're not really a winning team now. And they're clearly not close to Buffalo, who was 13-3 and clearly got better in the offseason. So, you know what? When your old company still can't acknowledge it, struggled for years, you took everybody in that organization from owner to coach to lineman to a completely different level, and they can't stop talking about the people who have replaced you. That's why Tom's just going to stay in Tampa, and he's just going to keep the foot on the gas, and it's just jet fuel. Every time I hear a Mac Jones or a Cam compliment, I know Brady looks at that and just goes, keep chirping, keep talking. We know he's got a chip on being drafted in the sixth round. So tonight, we get our first view, the brilliant Mac Jones. It's going to be unbelievable. Who do they play? The Houston Texans? Oh, Washington. Well, Washington's got a good defensive front. Maybe he won't be great. We'll see how he runs around when under pressure. All right, so New England and Washington. Good stuff today. Derek, speaking of playing a long time, that's why I say with Brady, and I made a rule a few years ago. I said, I'm not going to guess when Brady's going to retire. But I do believe Tom's just going to keep playing and keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. He's just going to keep burying New England and proving them wrong because they just can't acknowledge he changed everybody's life in that building. I'm done hearing about Cam and Mac Jones. I'm done. Do something. Also, Zach Wilson fanboys, they are, it's really sad. They've come after me and gotten very personal. It's very painful.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DoorDash is here. Get more from your neighborhood. Dash Pass. Try it for free. Year-round savings, $0 delivery fees. DoorDash. You know, I was talking about Brady and how, you know, the Patriots just can't bring it to themselves to acknowledge that he changed everybody's life in the organization and that Mac Jones and Cam Newton got more compliments in the last 15 months than Brady did in 20 years. But, you know, the other thing with Brady is he's going to play for a long, long time. And I do believe a part of it is he takes care of his body. But Derek Carr of the Raiders, who I've always liked more than you, who I've been saying for years to me, you can win a Super Bowl if you have a top 12 quarterback in the league. You usually need to get... These days, because of the offensive lean in the NFL, you're going to get in some shootouts. You got to have a top 12 quarterback. I think Derek Carr is a top 12 quarterback. And he was talking about how long he's going to play, and it's a very interesting thing. He's right here.
I feel like I'm 20. You know, I think I honestly believe this, that like our generation, like the way that we've taken care of our bodies with football, I think like 30 is like the new 20, you know, like I feel like I could play another 15 years, like, without a doubt. I honestly feel stronger, faster, better than I did when I first got to the NFL, you know. And that comes with more knowledge on how to train and how to eat and how to take care of your body. And that takes a little bit of money sometimes, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, we're reaching an interesting potential saturation point in the NFL with quarterbacks. And this has happened in the wine industry. For the last 20 to 25 years, there's been movies like Sideways romanticizing the wine industry. And you'll see that when after they made the movie Sideways, the wine consumption spiked in America. Every celebrity, every hedge fund person, you know, they all buy vineyards, and we produce a great amount of wine in America. But now, because young people are drinking more seltzers and they're not drinking as much wine as their parents did, we have a saturation point that we've got more wine than we have wine drinkers. So the business is much tougher because it's saturated. You're seeing this in the NFL, is that it's the ABCs of this saturation point. Number one, money is greater in the NFL. So guys want to play longer and get another contract. Rich guys like money. Derek Carr's already rich. If you can play into your mid-40s, you go from a $75 million net worth to $140 million net worth. It's a different life, right? Practices are easier. We talked to TJ Hushmanzada. He's like, I've been at camps. Like, guys don't hit at practice anymore. Like, a little in preseason, you're done. You don't even play preseason anymore if you're good quarterbacks. Number three is As Derek Carr pointed out, nutrition, training is better. We're all living longer, especially people with money. We're living longer. I mean, now they have concierge medical, where if you're a rich guy, you don't even have to go to the same hospital or emergency room. You have your own you go to. Like, and that's for non-athletes. So you couple that, the ABCs, with the fact that these college quarterbacks are coming in much better, much more refined, much smarter. They can read defenses. The quarterback coaching now in high school is like a cottage industry. Add to the fact you're getting to a point where college schemes are now used in the NFL. There's no reluctance now. A guy comes into the NFL, Matt Nagy's like, I'm just going to use the stuff that Mitch did in college. You're seeing that. That's no longer a barrier or a stigma. So it's easier for the college quarterback to come in and be able to play very, very early. I mean, Joe Burrow walked in and could play immediately. Your 300-yard games. Justin Herbert immediately with a terrible offensive line. So, I mean, I criticize Tua now. He went 6-3 last year. I criticize Daniel Jones. He won 5 of 8. These guys aren't terrible. You can win games with Tua and Daniel Jones. The question is, the quarterbacking now is so good, can you carry a team when it has deficiencies? I mean, think about this. Nick Foles now is a backup. He has a career winning record as a starter. Okay? He wins more than he loses when he started. He won a Super Bowl, out-dueled Tom Brady. Third string right now. Third string in Chicago. Gardner Minshew was like productive and not even considered a starter. Mitch Trubisky, believe it or not, has a winning record in the NFL, 29-21. And we roll our eyes at those guys. So you look around the NFL, like the wine industry, you start looking around the NFL now, we're reaching a saturation point. By the way, next year's NFL draft has two already five-star great quarterbacks and about three others that will get picked in the first round, but a guy from Carolina, a guy from Oklahoma, those two are going to be top 4 or 5 picks. Those are seen as big hits, guys with a lot of talent, and I agree, they're both really good. So there's only three teams in the NFL that I look at and I feel like they don't have the guy. And that's Denver, and Drew Lock has talent. I've never disputed that. I said he's a poor man's Jay Cutler. He's got talent. Washington, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick is more athletically talented than Tua last year. And the Saints, well, Taysom Hill is like Tim Tebow, but like way more athletic. And last year he had to start a bunch, and he won all the games he started. And Jameis Winston has been wildly productive. So the floor in the NFL now, we have multiple backups who can really play. Gardner Minshew can really play. You Baker Mayfield fans, go look at his college in the same offense and his NFL numbers. He can play. He's not going to start over Trevor Lawrence, but he can play. Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky. So, I mean, it used to be that Derek Carr as a quarterback was absolutely sufficient. You're not making deals or calls. There's no question you Derek Carr is your quarterback. I mean, every year at some point we're talking about, well, is Derek Carr good enough? We are really reaching a point with what Derek Carr is saying here. Not a lot of teams need quarterbacks. Backups are really efficient. There's a lot of good backups. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, the one in New York for the Jets, Zach Wilson, didn't play well in his first scrimmage with the Jets. Caused some concern for how he'll perform when the regular season begins, but he's not dwelling on his mistakes. Instead, he is using them as lessons to prepare for when the games actually matter.
Taking care of the ball is 100% a quarterback's job. And one of my goals when I came out here and I got drafted was just like, how can I adapt to this NFL game as quickly as I can? And I can't be afraid to make mistakes, especially in practice. You know, this isn't a game. This is where I'm learning what I can get away with and what I can't. And so, you know, there's times where, you know, maybe in a real game, I probably wouldn't throw that. But it's times where I'm like, well, let me try right here and see what I can get away with.
All right. Well, I got a lot of pushback yesterday from the fanboys. Zach Wilson fanboys. They're BYU and the Jet fan. Oh, he's just, I don't know. We'll see.
They love him?
Well, I said before, he's a little cocky. He's a little small. And his road has been paved with riches. And let's see.
Fan bases are very excited about their quarterbacks right now.
if I criticize an older quarterback, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine, right? But young quarterbacks who haven't played yet, fans.
Well, I mean, because they're thriving on hope.
Listen, if you go, I'm not going to get to, I'm going to talk about this after Herdline News, but we have a history of what happens with first round quarterbacks. On average, there's four. One's a star, two are bumpy, one's a bust. They ain't all hitting. So, and I don't think, I'll just tell you right now, I think Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence, those two I know are going to succeed.
Well, where you go matters too. And the New York Jets have a little bit of a better offensive line, but they don't have a ton of solid weapons, and they have a new head coach. It's tough for the New York market to be patient.
First-time play caller, offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so there's a lot of new here with the New York Jets. And look, I guess the concept of trying things out in practice, you remember Tua had a really bad practice where he had like five interceptions.
Right,
and Flores
right.
was like, I'd rather him be aggressive
right.
now.
Yes.
So there is some, you know, mentality to this. They are obviously trying to push him. You would rather have him be aggressive than be timid, I suppose.
Right.
But, you know, this is all we have to evaluate him on. So we're overanalyzing all of it. Once
right.
we start getting into the real games, then we can,
yes.
you know, start projecting. I think you and I are on the same page about our feelings about how this is going to go for Zach Wilson. But, we shall see very
right.
soon. So the Saints have a true quarterback competition, Jameis and Taysom. And Sean Payton is hoping the preseason will give him some clarity on who the team starter should be. He said, I'd like to see these guys operate both of them in all three of these games, but I haven't sat down as a staff and said this is the date. Hopefully it's something we begin to see a little more clarity on. Both of these guys are working their tail off. They're both well-respected by their teammates. They're really, really good leaders, and that's a good thing.
Well, they're two actually opposites. Jameis is your classic, can throw the ball down the field. Taysom is an athlete. And it's not like college where sometimes you get that, like, you have two guys that can play. We just don't do that in the NFL. But to me, I know you can win with both. You can win games with both. The question becomes, which one can defenses marginalize? And I think it's Taysom Hill. You can force Taysom. There's certain things he can't do throwing the ball. And with Jameis, our question's never been size or athleticism or arm. It's just been mistakes.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to ask Jameis to be more efficient than it is to ask Taysom to be a brilliant thrower. That's the only, and by the way, I think, you know, like, you know how San Francisco's got Trey Lance doing some stuff? Even if I started Jameis, Taysom Hill has value.
They're still going to use Taysom Hill.
Absolutely.
Similarly to what they did when they had Drew Brees, even though Drew Brees is very different than Jameis, obviously.
Right.
But, again, I don't love quarterback competitions. I understand he's trying to feel it out throughout camp and taking his time or whatever. But I just – Jameis Winston has so much more starting experience than Taysom Hill. And I don't know what the delay is. Like, he's been there, so you pretty much know what you have in him. And maybe you're evaluating because he, you know, lost weight this offseason, he had the surgery, he's been in the system for another year, so they're seeing how all this works. But he's favored by -250 to be the starter, Taysom +162. I would assume that Jameis Winston is going to end up being the starter.
And credit to both, because they're both grinders. Like, they like each other. It's respectful. But Jameis is also, I always thought he was a little lumpy as an athlete. I think he's gotten in really good shape.
Well, Jameis, I think he's also been humbled a little bit. I mean, he's on a new team, and he had to learn a new system, and he was the guy, and then now he has to prove himself. So when you're in the situation like that, you do have to put in the extra work, teach your body a little differently, and pay attention to what you were doing wrong at your first stop. Those odds are given to us by Fox Bet. So Damian Lillard has been at the center of trade rumors all offseason.
Oh, wait. Whoa, what's this? Oh, cryptic? I saw cryptic.
It's cryptic. It is cryptic. He's maintained his commitment to the Blazers. He has also said he wants the team to be a championship contender.
Yes.
And he has posted a cryptic Instagram post.
Okay, let me see it.
He posted an image that said, sometimes you just have to play the role of a fool to fool the fool who thinks they are fooling you. With the caption, chess, not checkers. And there's a little there's a little jester guy in the corner.
Sometimes you have to play the role of a fool. Mm-hmm. So he's playing the role of a fool.
To fool the fool who thinks he's fooling you.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh. Mm-mm. So what he's saying is,
you got to play dumb to
Portland.
Convince the dumb person that you're dumb, but you're really not. So you're smarter than the dumb person, and you're actually really manipulating them.
Is he talking about Neil O'Shea, the GM? Is he talking about the owner?
I don't know what's going on here. I also think it's funny that, like, now any NBA player who is involved in any kind of, like, possible movement, if they just – maybe it's just on his heart to post this quote because it's, like, something that's going on in his personal life or something, and now we're, like, applying it to this possible trade scenario. It's like if you're an NBA player, you can't post anything like that.
Like, you and I had a dinner the other night with a young broadcaster, and I said, once you get into this world of opinion, you're in the headline business.
Right.
Brent Musburger once told me that. You will now live in a world of headlines. Think of your show as a sports section, and you just stay on page one. You talk LeBron four times. You don't go to, you know, guys that nobody cares about. And so I always look to me, I want to talk Dame, but I can't talk him as much in Portland. Except for Portland fans. Take them out of it. Isn't everybody rooting for him to land with a Luka or an Embiid? Like, isn't that better for 90% of sports fans? It's nothing against Portland. It's just we've seen it. Like, when LeBron left for Miami, I'd seen LeBron carry a crappy team.
Right.
I wanted to see him with great players. It was nothing anti-Cleveland. In fact, when he went back to Cleveland, I was like, this is awesome because they had Kyrie and they got Kevin Love. But in the end now, like, I'm just ready to see Dame play with another A-plus guy. I just want to see that.
I think that, you know, the landscape has changed, obviously. When LeBron left, it was, like, very dramatic, and he's abandoning his hometown, and he's going to South Beach, and he's squishing the little guy. And now we're a little bit past that, and there's still some resentment there around with fans. Obviously, everyone loved that Giannis did it in Milwaukee, even though Golden State just did the same thing a couple years before, but it's San Francisco, so it's not the same thing, building through the organization. I think with Dame is such a superstar. Like, he is such a crossover star. He's got music. He's got the shoes.
Like,
he is a, like, bona fide star in a market like Portland where we root for them, but we can all also see
there's
kind of a ceiling
here. Yes, yes.
And with an all-time great player like Dame, you want to see him in a situation where you know he has at least the potential to win a championship so that when he does with someone else, it feels like, okay, that's deserved. Like, it doesn't, he's not a super team guy because of how much he's talked about it, but you need other players around you to win a championship.
Yeah. And I also think you don't want to be Bradley Beal, who I look at now, and this is weird, but I almost think less of him. It's like, dude, do you want to be a winner? Why are you not leaving? I don't understand.
I mean, loyalty is a little bit overstated in professional sports because it's professional.
Right.
You didn't stay at the same company your entire life. Most people don't. It's an old school ideal, and we try to apply it to sports, and it just doesn't really add up sometimes.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
But, Lane Kiffin, did you hear this story? His football team in college has 100% vaccination rate in a state that has one of the lowest vaccination rates, Mississippi. And under Nick Saban and under Pete Carroll, and Lane was always a really smart offensive guy. He's developed into a really good football coach. So he took over Ole Miss last year. They were suddenly like the second best offense in America. May have been first. He's got a million things to talk about. He faced Mac Jones. He coached Jalen Hurts. So Lane Kiffin's around the corner. A lot of interesting stuff. I mean, he's coached in the NFL. He's coached Jalen Hurts. He's gone against Mac Jones, who just lit him up last year. So he's around the corner. Plus, you Zach Wilson fanboys, you just have to come to terms with this. All those Johnny Manziel fanboys in Texas A&M, they all work at car washes now. All those guys who were big bloggers and media types down there that went up against me, shame, shame, shame. Just ruin their careers. BYU fans and Jet fans, I'm going to have to set you straight and be real on this thing. I'm not rooting against anybody. Nobody roots against these guys. Bad quarterback play stinks. I'm looking for saturation. I want all these guys. But there's a Zach Wilson thing that nobody's discussing. I will eventually today. Plus, we're loaded.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's. If their turkey had a resume, it would say 99% fat-free and raised without antibiotics. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. I will address all the haters yesterday. I'll tell you something. It is... Thank God I have Joy and Ryan, all the haters out there. So Lane Kiffin has coached a lot. He's been a coach. When Lane Kiffin got a job with the Raiders, everybody's like, oh, he's way too young. Now the whole league feels like they look like Lane Kiffin when he coached the Raiders. Half these guys aren't shaving. He's the second youngest NFL coach ever at the time with Sean McVay. In one year... Ole Miss was a little bit of a mess. He figured out the offense. They're the only team in the country that scored 35 a game but surrendered 35 a game. So he figured out the offense very quickly. They'll get the defense figured out through recruiting. And Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss coach, now joining us live. Watched a couple of your games last year, and they were typical Lane Kiffin. You were fast and clever and smart. And by the way, you've lost a lot of weight. You lost 30 pounds, I'm told. What did you do?
I did a lot, Colin. I really, after the season, after the bowl game, you know, just sitting down with players and you have your year-end meetings, and we had some linemen that, you know, talked about their diet and working out and having discipline. And I'm sitting there looking at myself going, God, how am I staying this? I'm not doing myself. So just changed the diet, went back to exercising like I used to. And just kept plugging away.
By the way, you have 100% vaccination rate on your football team, which is absolutely remarkable in a state, especially with a lower vaccination rate. What was the sell? We know that some kids, it may be religion, they get misinformation. You sold your entire team on this, and how did you do it?
Well, I am proud of our players and our staff, our entire building. That's 250 people. You know, coming together, and it's hard to get that to happen. And like you said, we're in a state that was dead last in vaccination rate. So we didn't make anybody do anything. We didn't force anybody, but we did educate people. And we brought in not just our own doctors, but outside doctors for information and for support in this decision-making process. And, you know, really what it came down to is a lot of the kids, a lot of the employees, adults, you know, it really wasn't for sure. No, it was really, well, I read one article, or
yeah,
I had one person tell me this. So I'm just going to say no. And it's easier to say no than yes, because I don't have to go down the road and get the shot or, you know, go to the doctor's office. So I think a lot of it was that.
Yeah.
Versus what people really think it is, that everybody's so educated on this.
Ole Miss football coach, turned him around offensively in 1 year, one of the great recruiters in college football. So I trust your judgment on quarterbacks. Mac Jones had a field day against you guys last year. Tell me, what do you like about his game? Any concerns going to the NFL? He's not a, quote, great athlete, but when you faced him, what did the film say and what did the game say to you afterwards?
Well, he played great versus us, but everybody played great versus us, Colin. That's a really good thing to go by. But no, Mac, well, great competitor, phenomenal student of the game. He's going to study. He's going to know everything about it. I think he'll do really well. And, you know, I think he, in the offseason, when we watched cut-ups of things to learn, and, you know, you kind of learn the players even more. And he was extremely accurate, you know, with his deep ball throws. Now, over 2 years of throwing to four first-rounders helps your accuracy too, but he did a great job.
Jalen Hurts, who you had. Philadelphia is going to let him roll, Lane, for 16 games. What do you like? What would be your concerns on the Eagles quarterback?
I like how Jalen can get out of trouble. I like that, you know, especially so many plays are not made in rhythm, and he does a great job of doing that. You know, the concern would just be, you know, an entire season at that level as a young quarterback at any age, you know, just having the experience and going through everything. And most guys take a while. You know, everybody now wants everybody to play great right away. And in that position, most of the time, takes a while.
You know, Lane, when you went to Oakland, it's well documented. There were a lot of picks that Al Davis muscled through that you weren't a fan of, but you were a young coach and there were a lot of skeptics. And it always takes time in society for us to just put our arms around cultural changes. Now in the NFL, Zach Taylor, Sean McVay, just kids. I mean, we got Nick Sirianni. We got all these young guys. And take me back a little bit. It was such a stigma. Your age was such a big deal. And my takeaway is young people, my kids are smarter than I was. Like, young people are just smarter. Do you remember when you were with the Raiders, just all the doubt and skepticism you had to constantly hear and face?
I remember some of it, but, you know, I was young enough. And I think that's, you know, one of the good things about being young, you know, is you think you can do everything and you know, you think you got all the answers. So that's bad and good at the same time. So, I had no concerns. What I think when you are young, what you need is the right people around you. Just like to be a good quarterback, you need the right pieces around you of the organization and the other players. And so I think any head coach needs that, but especially when you're young.
You know, you faced Alabama and Nick Saban, and there's always been this feeling from people outside the SEC bubble that, oh, Kiffin and Saban, oh, boy, I don't know. And I know both of you. I have a hard time believing. I mean, I don't know. I think Nick let you run an offense. He just gave it to you. And if you go look at what you did, you didn't have first-round quarterbacks. Do you and Nick, if you walk up to each other, what is it like now today?
Very comfortable. It's happened a number of times. And great respect for him, great appreciation for what he did for me and giving me that opportunity. You know, Colin, when the USC thing happened, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I didn't know anything about coaching. So, you know, he gave me a great opportunity and, you know, people want to give me credit for changing the offense there, but as a head coach, especially a head coach that is set in his ways, for him to want to change on offense. And it was his idea. I didn't come in saying, this is what you should do. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want to change. You know, I'm tired of people running these plays against us and we don't have an answer for them. So just appreciate him that opportunity. And, you know, it's a good lesson. Sometimes when you just sit and listen, you know, for 3 years and learn from somebody, you can learn a lot. And obviously that helped us last year the other way playing against him. Because you heard for 3 years what he didn't like to see.
Yeah. Well, you've had Pete Carroll and Nick Saban as mentors, and you're obviously going to be a mentor for some young coaches out there. You know, it's funny, if I have friends, I just met with some friends the other day from the SEC, I had dinner with them, and they just love football. I'm a West Coast guy, but I always tell my West Coast friends, you just don't want it as badly. as a guy who loves the West, and I know you do, if explain Southern football to a West Coast guy who just thinks the media doesn't like us, and I say, you just don't understand the SEC. Explain it to them.
Yeah, you really don't. And until you get in it, you view it different, and you think out there, it's like it's just not a different league. It's like a different sport. You know, and you can utilize it in some really good ways too. You know, like this vaccination, you know, as a head coach of USC, I think if you do that, you're going to have some impact. But you do that as the head coach of Ole Miss, you know, fans now are lining up to, you know, get vaccinations because the football team did it. So it is completely different, and there's good and bad to everything. You know, and you and I have talked before, you can go to down there in Manhattan Beach and maybe a few people recognize you, you know, being the head coach of USC, but you know, they just maybe say hi or something. Down here in the South, you ain't going anywhere quick. So it takes you an hour to go to the grocery store. So it's just a totally different world. They are passionate about it. And the whole family. I mean, we had a women's clinic here, like 400.
Yeah, we lost him. Lane Kiffin. Little breakdown in satellite communication. Anyway, good stuff from Lane Kiffin. Very good stuff. Yeah, Texas and Oklahoma are going to figure out very quickly it's not the Big 12. It's just, this is not, it's totally, I think Oklahoma's going to win very quickly, but it's not just about going to the SEC and playing. You got to play them every week. It's 100,000 people in every stadium every week. Kentucky, a basketball school, there's 80,000 people in the stands.
It's just a different mentality.
You know, they're saying is it matters more. It does.
Yeah.
I have a friend in Nashville, and I went down and saw him a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago, Saturday morning at 7:45, we got up. We walked downtown. I could smell the bourbon. The restaurants were full. 7:45 in the morning, and they were lined up, and there were lines around the block at restaurants, TVs everywhere, 20 sports bars.
It's cultural.
Yes.
It's like when I first came to California and I went to the grocery store, you can't get, there's no bags for your groceries. They're like, do you want bags? I'm like, I'm going to carry all these, I'm going to carry with my hands. How am I getting home? There's no bags. You bring your own bags to the grocery store. Like, there's just certain things in different parts of the country. It's just cultural. And
yeah.
Listen, football is different in
the
South.
It's very easy to be a vegan in California.
Yeah.
It's very hard in Cincinnati.
It's difficult in Kansas City.
Like every other restaurant has, every restaurant has vegan options.
Yep.
Every other restaurant feels like a vegan restaurant. It's like, it's easier here for that, right? Tired of waiting for hot water? Choose Navien. Lower your water bills. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Urban Meyer, interesting things today. More on the Cowboys. First hour flew by. Live in LA, it's The Herd.